te vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. So we have two verses today. I will read the first one myself, the verse and the translation, and we will do text number 11, which has the purport together. Okay? Etam sanishtya pittamaho mahan agada bodho bhavatha padapadmam duvam prapede ya akuto bayam janan vithasvapaksha shapanasya sattamam. Translation. My grandfather, Bali Maharaj is speaking now. He is presently tied up by the ropes of Varuna. And actually, as we will see, he's glorifying the Supreme Lord for taking away everything that he had. My grandfather, the best of all men, who achieved unlimited knowledge and was worshipable for everyone, was afraid of the common men in this world, being fully convinced of the substantiality afforded by shelter at your lotus feet. He took shelter of your lotus feet against the will of his father and demoniac friends who were killed by your own self. And we'll go to text 11 now. No, we actually don't need the book for this.
Ataham apyatma ripos tavantikam. Daivena nita prasabham tyajita shri. Itam kritan tantika varti jivatam. Yayadruvam stabda matirna buddhyate. Atham apyatma ripos tavantikam. Daivena nitha prasabham tyajita shri. Idam kritan tantika varti jivatam. Yayadruvam stabda matirna buddhyate. Atham apyatma ripos tavantikam. Daivena nitha prasabham tyajita shri. Idam kritan tantika varti jivatam. Yayadruvam stabda matirna buddhyate.
Please chant. Ladies, please. Taham apyatma. Divena netarpasam vamtyajita shri idam kritam praktikam varti jivaham Atha, therefore, aham, I, api, also, atma ripo, who are the traditional enemy of the family, tava, of your good self, antikam, the shelter, divena, by providence, Nittaha, brought in prasabham by force, tyajita, bereft of shriha, that's shrihi, is that right, Archita? Yeah, that's what I just said, shrihi, all opulence, idim, this philosophy of life, Krita anta antika varti, always given the facility for death. Jivatam, the duration of life. Yaya, by such material opulence. Adruvam, as temporary. Stabdamati, such an unintelligent person, nabudyate, cannot understand. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation. Only by providence have I been forcibly brought under your lotus feet and deprived of all my opulence, because of the illusion created by temporary opulence, people in general, who live under material conditions, facing accidental death. At every moment, do not understand that life is temporary. Only by providence have I been saved from that condition. Purport. Bali Maharaj appreciated the actions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although all the members of the demoniac families except Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj considered Vishnu their eternal traditional enemy. As described by Bali Maharaj, Lord Vishnu was actually not the enemy of the family, but the best friend of the family. The principle of this friendship has already been stated. Yasyaham anugranami harishyetadhanam shanai. from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.8. The Lord bestows special favor upon His devotees by taking away all His material opulences. Bali Maharaj appreciated this behavior by the Lord. Therefore, he said, Daivena Nita Prasabam Tyajita Shri. It is to bring me to the right platform of eternal life that you have put me into these circumstances. Actually, everyone should fear the so-called society, friendship, and love for which he works so hard all day and night, as indicated by Bali Maharaj by the words, Janad Bita, every devotee in Krishna consciousness should always be afraid of the common man engaged in pursuing material prosperity. This has to be tightened over here. Somebody tighten this, please. Yeah, thank you. A little lower. Such a person is described as Pramata, a madman, chasing the will-o'-the-wisp. Such men do not know that after a hard struggle for life, one must change his body with no certainty of what kind of body he will receive next. Those who are completely established in Krishna conscious philosophy and who therefore understand the aim of life will never take to the activities of the materialistic dog race. But if a sincere devotee somehow does fall down, the Lord corrects him and saves him from gliding down to the darkest region of hellish life. Adanta gobir vishitam tamisram puna punash charvita charvan charvananam, from the Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. The materialistic way of life is nothing but the repeated chewing of that which has already been chewed. Although there is no profit in such a life, people are enamored of it because of uncontrolled senses. Nunam pramata kudute the karma, Bhagavatam 5.5.4. Because of uncontrolled senses, people fully engage in sinful activities by which they get a body full of suffering. Bali Maharaj appreciated how the Lord had saved him from such a bewildered life of ignorance. He therefore said that his intelligence had been stunned. Stabdamatya na buddhyate. He could not understand how the Supreme Personality of Godhead favors his devotees by forcibly stopping their materialistic activities. Omagina timirandasya gananjina shalakaya chakshur unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto his lotus feet. So, here we see Bali Maharaj has made a 180 degree change from what he once was to what he is now. Now he is a pure devotee acting, expressing, feeling on the highest platform of devotional service. For this reason, we call him a Mahajan. Maha means great and jana means knower. So he's a great knower or a great authority on the science of bhakti yoga. He among 11 others, there are 12 Mahajans. Bali Maharaj was essentially, at least externally, he was a materialist originally. What did he strive after? He strove for power, acquisitions, accumulations. It wasn't enough to simply be a king of a particular planet. He desired to be the king of numerous planets. This one, that one, all the planets that the demigods ruled and controlled, he wanted to be the ruler of all of them. So you can just imagine, you can just see the amount of ambition and power that this man had. Of course, he was born in the line of Prahlad Maharaj, so that pretty much guarantees a lot of something, certainly a lot of power. But the power that he was evidencing or expressing was primarily materialistic power, that he was undefeatable, invincible, invulnerable. No one could defeat him. So when you get that powerful, you get very proud. You get very puffed up. You get very arrogant. You get very much vain, conceited, complacent, all those wonderful adjectives that help to make us miserable. So that's what a person gets when he is on, when that is his goal of life. In fact, it's mentioned in purport that we get proud. Pride goes before the fall. That's an old cliche. And in this case, we see how, although Bali Maharaj has now taken a fall, in his mind, he has taken a rise. And that's the irony of the whole thing. To a materialist, when a person loses his wealth, he loses his power, he loses his family, he loses his acquirements, his car, airplane, boat, he may lose his friends. When he loses all these things, he feels, this is horrible, this is terrible. He feels depressed, he feels dejected, he feels squashed and crushed. Because after all, in the material world, the thing that we live for is to be big, to be tall, to be great, to be glorious. Nobody wants to be a loser. And so, Bali Maharaj, from material point of view, he's a loser. And from his point of view, he's a winner. So we have to see that. It's very, very important. Here he is, tied up with these ropes of Varuna. His guru has pretty much cursed him to lose everything, and he's just lost everything. Lord Vamanadeva took two steps. He covered the material middle planetary system with the first step. He covered all the heavenly worlds with the second step. And that second step actually did, not only wasn't it just a step, but he punctured with his toe the covering of the material world, just above Lord Brahma's planet. And that covering, he put a hole in it. And when the hole hit it, the water of the causal ocean began flowing down, which was a great, great benediction to the material world. What was that water? What was that water? Yes, the Ganges water. And Lord Brahma, he also had a little fun, because when the foot went up, Brahma had his kamandalo, you know, water pot, and he poured the water onto the foot of Vamadeva and began washing the foot, and the drippings, they went down and went down to the upper planetary system, middle planetary system, and the lower planetary system with the Ganges. They call different in different planets. I think in the heavenly planets they call it the Mandakini. In the this planet, the Ganges water. I don't know what they call it in the lower planets, though. Anybody know? Yeah? Can you shout that out, please? Bodhavati. Thank you very much. Yes. So, therefore, that was a great benediction, because anyone who touches the water of the Ganges has his karmic reactions completely eradicated, because this is the flow, the perspiration of Lord Vishnu. So it is sacred, it is very, very pure, and is very, very potent. So Vamanadeva came ostensibly to win back the planets that Bali Maharaj had stolen from the different demigods, who are the sons of Aditi. That was the apparent reason that he came and he appeared. We know that Mother Aditi has performed a particular vow or vrata in order to have the Supreme Lord as her son, because she knows from her husband that no one can take away the position, the power of Bali Maharaj except the Supreme Lord. So she knew this, and so therefore she performed this particular Payavrata ceremony perfectly. And performing it perfectly, what happened was that Vamanadev was born to her. And he was a dwarf, he was diminutive, and he was a brahmacharin, Brahman. Very, very cute, very lovable, quite charming. We also know that he, when he heard that Bali Maharaj was making a big sacrifice on sacrificial ground, he appeared there. And when he appeared there, he was glowing. He did not look like an ordinary human being. Although he had the features of a human being, the legs and the arms, the nose and the head, but he was radiating divine light. And it was so powerful, so intense. And we must remember that Bali Maharaj had, in dormant form, an ocean of spirituality in his heart. I say in dormant form because Prahlad Maharaj had prayed for his father Hiranyakashipu just after he had been killed. And he said to Lord Nrsingadev, please save my father. And Lord Nrsingadev said, I will not only save your father, but I will save 11 generations back of your fathers and 11 generations forward of the next fathers that would come, descendants. So Bali Maharaj happens to be one of those descendants. The first one... First is Bali Maharaj's father, Virochana, and Virochana's son was Bali Maharaj. So each one of these sons has an ocean of spirituality in a dormant form, waiting and ready to flame up or flare up. And that's exactly what happens when Lord Vamanadev enters the sacrificial arena and he's walking towards where the activities are taking place, and Bali Maharaj sees him, and he is stunned. He is spellbound. He sees this little charming lad with this light beaming all around him, and something is taking place within him. And that something is very much like when you take a match, okay, with a head on it, the sulfur head, and you strike it against some hard surface. Well, then the light comes out. That's how you bring the light out, by striking it. So in effect, what is happening here is Bali Maharaj, who is the match, is being struck against the pure spiritual hardness, if you will, of Vamanadev, and the light which is within him in a dormant form is coming up, has been lit. Just as you strike the match, the light comes up. When you strike Bali Maharaj against Vamanadev, now how did he strike against? Well, Vamanadev came in, and then Bali Maharaj said to him, well, please have a seat. He gave him a soft, nice cushion. And then the next thing he did after he did that, he gave him, he washed his feet. And he washed it, and as he was washing his feet, this transformation is taking place. He's feeling more and more spiritual feelings that he had never felt before. He's feeling a type of love which he'd never felt before, which we call spiritual love. So he's washing the feet, then he brings, and he takes the water from which he has washed the feet, and he pours it over his head and rubs it into his head and his body. And he's feeling uplifted. He's feeling joyful. He's feeling completely very, very satisfied, happy. So then he asks Vamanadev, how can I serve you? What can I do for you? He said, I have villages. I can give you villages. I have many wives. I can give you. I can give you elephants, I can give you cows, I can give you whatever you like. Just say what, say it. When you are feeling very spiritually alive, all you want to do is give, give, and give more. Some of us who have done book distribution, you go out, you give out a few books, and the person says, oh yeah, thanks, hey, this is great. And you feel so good, you want to give out another 100. I mean, that's the feeling I always had. And even if you get a few crab apples who say, yeah, I don't want your book, get out of my face. Even if you get some of those, it really doesn't matter because you have all this other wonderful joy and fulfillment and satisfaction. So Bali Maharaj is feeling just like that. And he said, well, what would you like? And so he said, well, I'll just take enough land over which you can take 3 steps. So Bali Maharaj, he looked at him and said, is he crazy? 3 steps of land, just a little, and he's small, so his steps are small, tiny. So he's not going to cover much land. And it's not going to be very much high-priced real estate there. It's just cheap. He says, nah, this little brahmachari really is not very intelligent. That's how he's thinking. He doesn't know what to ask for. He says, let me give you something more. No, this isn't enough. Although I don't want to get greedy. He says, but you've asked for nothing. No, it's enough. Just skip. So he's tricking him. Finally, he says, okay, you can take 3 steps of land. And of course, as we know, the first step, and he covered, as I already stated. And prior to that, his guru told him, don't give him anything. He says, but I've made a promise. He said, no, don't give him anything, because if you give him what he wants, he will cover the whole universe. But I made a promise. It doesn't matter. You didn't say om. So the promise isn't fulfilled. The promise isn't a good promise. You can break it. Bali Maharaj says, no, you don't break a promise to a Brahmin. And one who's radiating all this light, and whom you just said is the Supreme Lord. How can I break a promise to him? Bali Maharaj had more spirituality than his own spiritual master. Spiritual master is willing to commit an offense just to maintain the status quo of materiality and plenty of planets and plenty of all kinds of foods and all kinds of gold and all kinds of silver and diamonds and all of the things that Bali Maharaj had. So Bali Maharaj strongly, intensely stated, no, I will not break my promise. And that's exactly what happened. So it comes to the point now where the Lord says, well, I've taken 2 steps of land and you didn't keep your promise. So I've taken the middle planetary system, the upper planetary system. Now, where am I going to put my 3rd step? You promised me 3, and all you've given me is 2. So Bali Maharaj is wondering, what's he going to do? As a result of not keeping your promise, then you deserve to be punished. And your punishment is as follows. So immediately they had him tied up with the ropes of Vrindavan. He's like a straitjacket, kind of like this. Bali Maharaj is in ecstasy. He's happy. He's satisfied. He's being punished for allegedly not having given the last and the 3rd step. At that point, he said, well, okay, I didn't give you the 3rd step. The only place I know that you can put it, would you kindly please put it on my head? So that gave great pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Put it on your head? Yes, just put it on my head. That will be your 3rd step. So, of course, the Lord took the 3rd step. And Bali Maharaj, why was he so ecstatic? Why was he so happy? He was happy because he had come to realize through this this fire of spirituality how empty his life had been, how purposeless, how pointless it had been. He had all this wealth, all this power, all these people bowing down before him, empty, because he knew at that point that at the time of death it will all be gone, and what will he have? A big, big, big 0. Well, what's the value of the 0? I'll have to come back and do it all over again. So he thought, at least now I am conforming to the will of God. Is there anything greater, better, higher, more fulfilling than to conform to the will of God? So he felt he was now in tune with God. He was at one with God, with God's love, with God's will. And there could be nothing greater or better. And he had mentioned, he said that, "I would rather go to hell. I would rather suffer the torments of hell, the tortures of hell, than break my promise to you." And the Lord was very pleased by this, because it takes a lot of guts, a lot of temerity, a lot of boldness to go against your spiritual master, who, by the way, was the one who had enabled him to have all this wealth. It was at this point that he realized that this spiritual master is totally pointless and worthless and useless, because all he had gotten him is wealth, which is all Bali Maharaj wanted at that time. But now he realizes there's something greater, something better, something higher, something more fulfilling, and that is to do the will of God, to please God. So although he had no property anymore, he was humiliated in front of all of his soldiers. I mean, just think of it. You're the topmost, the biggest. You're not a general. You're not a king. You're not an emperor of a particular planet. But you're the emperor of the cosmos. And here you are standing there with this rope of Varuna around you. You can't move. And you've got a blissful look on your face. And his men are thinking, "What's gone wrong with our man? What's gone wrong with this with this emperor? How could he look so happy?" They looked miserable. They looked so sad because they had lost everything. So consequently, they didn't understand what was going on in Bali Maharaj's heart. So Bali Maharaj considered that the Lord had awakened him from the miseries that he was even suffering miseries, but a kind of misery which is characterized by anxiety, uncertainty, and doubt. Anxiety, okay, I've got this planet now. Do you think I can get that one? Okay, I got that one. Now, can I get that one also? This is the anxiety of a miser, of anxiety of a person who simply wants to acquire, wants to achieve, wants to hoard, wants as much as he can, because it's a self-loving, thoughtless type of mentality. So Bali Maharaj was actually very, very happy over the fact that he had gotten this from the Lord. So what happens is, as we will notice shortly, is that his men felt that the Lord had played a trick on him with the two steps of land. And therefore they decided they were going to attack Vamanadeva. So immediately upon, they raised their lances, their spears, their tridents, and they were about to attack, and who should appear on the scene but the attendants or the associates of Lord Vishnu, Sunanda, Nanda, and Bala, and a whole group of men who had the power of 10,000 elephants. So they got ready to attack, Bali Maharaj's soldiers got ready to attack, and the soldiers of Lord Vishnu, they immediately killed them in a few moments. That was the end. But before he killed them, he said to his men, he said, "Don't fight. Don't do this. You cannot win. Time is against us. And it is time which enabled us to gain all of this power and all this structure and all this cosmos. But now it's against us. The Lord is not favoring. So don't waste your life." They didn't even want to hear that. So what happened? They charged. They attempted to assault him. And they never accomplished that particular attempt. So the next thing, of course, that happened is Lord Brahma showed up. And the Lord is, by the way, not only is he blissful, but he's extremely blissful of Bali Maharaj's wonderful transcendental attitude about the whole thing. So Lord Brahma comes in. He says, "You know, Bali Maharaj," he says to the Lord, "you've given him enough suffering. Look how humiliated he's been in front of his teacher, in front of all of the soldiers. They've died in front, and he's put in a position of smallness, of tininess. So maybe we could take the Varuna ropes off him." He says, "Yes, of course. Bali Maharaj is actually an excellent, great devotee. Some of the things I said were of a pretending nature. You know, when I told him that he hadn't kept his promise and that basically that he was a materialist, all those things were said really not from my heart. They were just said externally to arouse in Bali Maharaj the full understanding that all those things for which he lived, for which he worked, for which he fought and even died once, are totally meaningless, had no value, could do nothing for him except give him more worries, more anxieties, more uncertainties, more doubts, and more illusions. And it is these illusions that we form. I've got this today, now I've got that, you know, I have this kind of a car, oh, now this is a better car than the car I had, now I'm better, and then somebody comes by with a better car than I have, oh, now I've got to get a better one than him. I've got one job, in order to get a better car than he has, I'm going to have two jobs. And then so it goes on. Sometimes people are having three jobs just to have, you know, a particular, maybe they want a Lamborghini, maybe they want a, Mercedes, they want a Cadillac, they want something that will distinguish them above and beyond and greater than somebody else. This is false, false values. And Bali Maharaj fully realized that he was living a life of false values and he would now go to real values. To end the particular story, after Bali Maharaj is released from the ropes of Varuna, the Lord says that you didn't know this, but I already had Vishvakarma go down to one of the lower planetary systems, namely Sutala, and he has prepared this, and you've got big, big, wonderful palaces, wonderful gardens, beautiful pools, beautiful people, more beautiful than even your brother, brother Indra has. Because actually the demigods and the demons, they have the same father, Kashyapa Muni. So this, you will not be denied anything. You actually, your sense pleasure offerings or possibilities are even greater. But Bali Maharaj knew that as far as sense gratification goes, he has absolutely no real interest in it whatsoever, because he has found the greatest of gratifications, which is the gratification that comes from pleasing God, serving God, glorifying God, honoring God, bowing down to God, chanting the Lord's name. That he knows is the greatest and the most fulfilling and the most satisfying of all happiness, of all bliss. And so he knows he's already found the greatest. He really doesn't have to go anywhere or anything, take anything. Lord Vamanadeva tells him, not only will you live in Sutala, which Vishvakarma prepared for you, not only that, but I'm going to come with you. And I'm going to be your doorkeeper. Can you imagine the Supreme Lord of the universe? Look, we talk about humility. At the Rajasuya sacrifice, what was the Lord doing? He was washing the feet of the Brahmins. He's above all the Brahmins. He's above everyone. But nothing is too small. Nothing is too low. Nothing is too unimportant for him. And as far as he's concerned, he set the perfect example when he was washing the Brahmins' feet. And here again, he's setting another example. We as devotees should take heed. Whenever we see an opportunity, especially for some menial, what they call quote-unquote lower class service, we should be ready to jump on it, because that is what reduces us to our original true position as being slower than the straw in the street, or virtually, actually, nothing, zero next to Krishna. But when we're next to Krishna, we don't feel like a zero. We feel wonderful, because we are connected with, we're a part of the Supreme Whole. And knowing that, and knowing that that Supreme Whole favors us, loves us, wants us to be happy in every way possible, and gives us service in order for that to take place, we feel complete gratification and complete faith and complete hope as far as our lives go. So we can learn by all of this from this particular pastime on how to regard our adversity, our difficulties, our tribulations, our trials. How to regard them? that they, we have to not only be willing to accept them, but we should be glad. Because if we are devotees, at least we're trying to be, then Krishna is in charge of us. And he is giving us whatever we get. Whether you get the flu, whether you get an accident, whether you fall down, whether you become humiliated because you put your skirt on the wrong way, like the gopis did once, or whether you put on a hat in the opposite direction, or whether you do something stupid or dumb or nonsensical, Krishna is there, and he sees it, and he is enabling us to develop the humility, develop us modesty, regulation, balanced living, thoughtful living, careful living, loving living. Okay? So, therefore, anytime something comes, we don't have to go to our friend and say, oh, I got this pain, it's horrible, why is Krishna treating me like this? So, he's treating you because you need it. He's given you lots of pleasure. Now it's time to get the opposite side. To understand that material life is a mixture of pleasure and pain. Nothing stays. The only thing that stays is what? Krishna. And we want to be not only Krishna, but all his pure Nitya Siddha devotees in the eternal world. We want to be associating with them. We want to be interacting with them. We want to be serving them. This is our goal. This is our direction. And this is our dedication. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions or any questions or comments that would you like to make? Yeah? No? Sure? Somebody shy? Doesn't want to talk? Okay. You're all excused. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki ja. All glories to Bali Maharaj ki ja. All glories to your devotional service. Thank you.
Put the book over here. Yes.